Our study this morning comes from Psalm 11. Let's notice together, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Well, this is a Psalm of David written by inspiration, of course, during a time of danger to David's life. Possibly when King Saul became jealous of David and wanted him killed, or possibly when Absalom, his son, conspired to overthrow David's throne as the king of Israel. 1 Samuel 19:1, for example, "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants, and that they should kill David. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence. And he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night." And for Absalom's conspiracy, you could see 1 Samuel chapters 15 through 18 for that particular study. So our study this morning will deal with this topic: faith which overcomes the world. And we want to ask ourselves, what kind of faith do we have? We don't want to have faith without works. That's a dead faith, James 2:19, 20, and 24. We don't want to be of little faith, as in Matthew 8:23-27. We don't want to have a wavering faith, James 1:5-8. But we want to have faith which overcomes the world, Acts 28:23-25, 2 Timothy 4:7-8. And so let's begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes sir, to PFE, standing for, of course, the greatest thing we could be doing, preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. That would be with a proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And I can assure you, you will be most welcome. Something else to mention: we are always looking forward to opportunities to studying the Bible. If you're interested in setting up a time to study together, at your convenience, give us a call. We would be glad to do that. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. Again, that's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, we don't want to leave that out, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get back to our study of Psalm 11, as we want to be sure we have faith which overcomes the world. 1 John 5, 3-5. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Notice that. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, that's more than just a mental accent of belief. That is belief, that is action, carrying out not only, you know, what we're studying from God's Word, what we see is one thing, but what we're doing is another, isn't it? So we need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves, of course. Well, let's begin here again in verse 1 of Psalm 11 and go through verse 3. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot out the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, excuse me, what can the righteous do? Fear and faith here are in conflict, are they not? David's companions, having lost heart, advised him to run to the mountains, believing that David's life was in danger, verse 1. Perhaps they believed this was the best possible advice they could give. Well, Peter believed his rebuking Jesus was helpful. In Matthew 16, notice verses 22 and 23. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Well, certainly Peter was out of line to rebuke the Lord, God in the flesh. Everyone should see that. Well, let's give godly advice and not follow the example here of Peter. But the advisors to David were thinking of his best interest, of course, because the wicked bend the bow and make ready their arrow upon the string, so they're ready to kill you there in verse 2. And these advisors noted that since the fundamentals of the society had been removed, that is, moral order and the rule of law, what can the righteous do? Verse 3. Well, what's the answer to that question? What can the righteous do? They can remain faithful. That's the answer, is it not? Well, of course, we're in the same situation here today. Are we not seeing moral order removed and the rule of law? Well, David here recognized their concern, but had already done what? Fled to God. In the Lord put I my trust. So in both cases of King Saul's jealousy or Absalom's conspiracy, David had to leave Jerusalem for safety, but not because he lost trust in the Lord. Oh, no, sir. Now, Christians can flee from dangerous situations just as David did when King Saul tried to take his life for a period of time, or the rebellion of Absalom, whichever one. But here's the point. Are we fleeing to God, or are we in fear of what others can do to us? We know the answer. We should be fleeing to God, but is that what we're doing in these difficult times? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body, where? In hell. That's the point, isn't it? But let's go on, verse 4 again in Psalm 11. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. So here we have faith as it conquers fear. David's reply to his advisors was to remind them the Lord is reigning where? On His throne in heaven, in His holy temple. David did not allow what others thought, say, or do to affect his faith or his trust in God. That's clear in verse 1 and 4, is it not? Now, King Saul's reign was, of course, temporary on the earth over Israel. There was no need to fear him, but we need to fear God. That is, respect God and trust God. Seek to do His will. God is eternal. That's right. David had absolute faith and trust in God regardless of the dangers and his concerns over the destruction of the foundations of Israel, as all should have been concerned about that. Notice what happens when we scrutinize something. We drop our eyelids. Well, God beholds everything. That's the point there in verse 4, is it not? Proverbs 15:3 tells us the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, I think you would agree that we're concerned over the destruction of moral order and the rule of law in our own country. I think most of us would say, yes, we are very concerned about this. Injustices. And this concerns us because we have a love for our country. We certainly appreciate being in a free country and being allowed to preach the gospel on the radio and in our church buildings and wherever we have the opportunity to preach and teach the truth. But we're still concerned of the direction and the loss of freedoms. So what can the righteous do? Well, that's a good question to answer, is it not? Well, one thing, we can pray for God's will to be done. If God is bringing judgment upon us, so be it. But if there's still time to turn things around, we need to remember that we, as Christians, are the salt of the earth, and we're to remain the salt of the earth and reflect the light of Christ to be a good influence. And we can proclaim and teach the gospel of Christ, even if they lock us up. We'll just begin a prison ministry. Never stop preaching the gospel, men, gospel preachers, and all of us in the Lord's church can teach others individually. Certainly we appreciate godly women who teach their children and grandchildren and the ladies' classes and helping their husbands in Bible studies. We need to be involved in spreading the good news, and we can be an encouragement and a good example to our brethren. And we must remain faithful no matter what happens. The worst, if it happens, we still have the victory as long as we remain faithful. Where? In the Lord. This is faith which overcomes the world. That's what we're studying about. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14:34. We certainly should believe that. Well, let's go on to, in our study of Psalm 11, and notice verse 5, the first part here. The Lord trieth the righteous. In other words, the faith of the righteous is put to the test. David faced a number of trials in his life. Job was certainly put to the test due to Satan charging God of buying off Job's faithfulness. Remember that? Job 1, 9 and 10, chapter 2, 3 through 5. Job was really put to the test, wasn't he? Losing 10 children and all his possessions, a few servants left to bring back the sad news in each situation, his wife remained and advised him to curse God and die. His three friends came and at first were silent, but then they began to accuse Job of being a sinner, bringing all this upon him. Yes, he endured, and you see what happened at the end of the book of Job. He was blessed greater than when he started out. 1 John 3:12-13, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, wherefore slew him? The question is asked. Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. The faith of the righteous is put to the test. Are we overcoming the trials and tribulations of life? Are we coming out of these trials and tribulations as pure gold, or are we getting burned up? We want to be able to say as Job did, Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Don't you want to be able to say that? I sure do. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But let's go on and notice the latter part now, verse 5 and verse 6. But the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. So the wicked will receive God's cup of wrath. David knows that God will take care of the wicked in his own time. Raining fire and brimstone occurred in Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't it? Luke 17:29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Portion of their cup. Let's notice. That was what they chose as their lot in life. That's the portion of their cup. And then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? John 18:11. That was the portion of Jesus' cup, to go to the cross and die for the sins of mankind. Now, God hates sin but loves the sinner. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, belief here is a part put for the whole. That's obeying the gospel, living a faithful Christian life. Notice the things which God hates. Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. We don't want to be involved in these sins. Of course, we don't want to be involved in any sin for that matter. But God sure does hate these that are listed. And mere man cannot prevent God's will from turning out as he said it would. That's right. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. In other words, it's going to turn out like God said it would, regardless of what man thinks or does. But let's go on and finish the verse. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Are we sowing to the flesh, or are we sowing to the Spirit? Well, let's go on and notice now verse 7 of Psalm 11. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. So the righteous will receive God's cup of special love. Yes, as we study together faith which overcomes the world, as we overcome the trials and tribulations that we face, coming out as pure gold, we're going to receive God's cup of special love. Remember, David, by inspiration, penned the beautiful Psalm 23. Notice verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Do we appreciate God's special love? As again, we're receiving God's cup of special love as we live righteous lives. Hosea 10, verse 12. Let's notice together. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now that's a shower of blessings, isn't it? As we sing in our hymns, sometimes these wonderful hymns remind us of just how many blessings we should be counting. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. We can't do that. There are so many. Ezekiel 34:26. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. There it is. That's right. Now that's something you can count on. We all can count on that as we live faithfully in the Lord's church. But if we're not faithful in the Lord's church, then what? We're not receiving God's cup of special love. And if we don't repent, if we don't obey the gospel, if we haven't done so, we're going to receive God's cup of wrath. Now that should sink in to all of us. David knew where he stood with God. But what about us? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David understood that. He knew the shepherd. He didn't just, you know, write that psalm by inspiration, of course. So as we close out our study this morning, let's ask ourselves several questions to help us again as we've studied faith which overcomes the world here in Psalm 11. We've looked at fear and faith in conflict, the first three verses. And then we notice faith conquers fear, verse 4. And that's certainly the case with us today if we do likewise. And then we notice faith of the righteous is put to the test, the first part of verse 5 there. We're going to have trials and tribulations and temptations in this life. Then we notice the wicked will receive God's cup of wrath, verses 5b and verse 6. And then we just discussed the righteous will receive God's cup of special love, verse 7. So now let's ask ourselves these questions. Do we allow others to have a negative influence on our faith? We should be influencing on them. We don't want to allow others to have a negative influence and take us away from being faithful in the Lord's church. But it happens more often than we would like to see, does it not? Question number two, are we prepared for persecution as faithful Christians by trusting God no matter what happens? We must be. We should be. But the question is, are we? And question number three, how do we show our love for God? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. And so, the final question, number four, is my faith able to overcome the world? And is yours? Well, if it's not, it's not too late to change and get things right. And if you have not obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to assist you. We must hear the truth and believe that this is the Word of God, the Bible, in a good translation. So Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. John 8:24, Mark 16:16. Now the next step after belief is repentance, to turn our will and do the will of God. Acts 17:30 and Luke 13:3-5. That's the most difficult part, to give up our will and do the will of God. The next step is making the good confession. This is done unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Now the next step is what puts us into the body of Christ, into his spiritual body. That would be the church of Christ. He built it, he died for it, purchased it with his blood. And thus, when we're washed clean of our sins, we're added by the Lord to his body. Acts 2:47. Baptism is a command. Mark 16:16. And again, this is where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As Ananias told Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and what? Wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. All the conversions in the book of Acts show what? They were baptized for the remission of sins. And so must we, if we're of the age of accountability. The last step in the plan of salvation is living faithfully, having the faith which overcomes the world. Revelation 2:10, even if it means dying for the cause of Christ, we'll have the victory. And so we're looking forward to having you join in with us and study with us further and obey the gospel. And we thank you so much for listening today.